A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what the team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. Sell millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Angriest guy in Kentucky, Kelly. Like I told you last year, Will Levis is going to be a better pro than Bryce Young. General managers falling over themselves to draft Bryce Young.
Hey, we thought so too.
He
still does. He might have moved to Kentucky, but why does he still? He tweets us separately. He still always tweets us separately.
I don't think he's figured that part out yet. So I'm guessing. The numbers guy says, which race is the big one today? And irresponsibly, who you got? I'm eyeing race number five. I don't have anything today, quite frankly. We'll find out from Felica and Olchek a little later on. Does Eddie want to talk hockey? He doesn't want to talk hockey. He just wants to talk horses, right?
Well, we may do a little bit of both with him.
Mike Stacks, of the Saints, Browns, and Vikings, which team loses in Survivor? I'm now leaning towards the Raiders and hoping upsets happen. Okay. I don't know if you guys have an answer to that.
Did he say Saints, Browns, and Vikings?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with Vikings.
Yes, because Vikings are the dog in that. That's right. Bill Hooker, I won't forget anytime soon when Felica gave out Country House on these very airwaves. More horse picks from him later. John Blum, only thing worse than Matt Brown not giving out prop picks is Gil not giving out the sushi plays. Great Megapod has always cashed that Steelers under. And then Nash, last name Nash, I continue to say you should follow people who will help educate and improve you as a bettor, not someone giving you picks trying to make the essence of gambling, quote unquote, easier on yourself. My favorite betting pods give very few picks, but lots of content.
There we go.
There you go. There's a vote in support for your rant.
Speaking of the horses, Samich is there. Samich is there. So Samich is a big, big horse.
Yeah.
And he also plays these tournaments. And so he's in this big, like, it's like a $10,000 buy-in tournament.
Mike Samich, your All Angles co-host.
Yeah, the handle.
The handle co-host,
yes,
pardon me.
Yeah, so he's playing the tournament over there. So I will have one Midland Bidlin sitting with me on Saturday, actually, over at Circa, as opposed to Mike Samich.
You know who...
That was really smooth.
That was so smooth. There's a big reserved sign on this day. Kelly, move into the middle of the show. The other... You know who else?
Yeah, I got called out of the pen.
They're
bringing me up, Gil. Bringing me in.
I'm looking at Breeders' Cup stuff online. Drew Dinsick, who was wearing his / Halloween hat on Tuesday when he was on with us on Halloween.
Oh, please wear it there.
He's wearing, like, you know, your central casting horse racing handicapper. He's, like, into the Breeders' Cup massively. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if... I think he'd be fine with me saying this. Me and Drew might have exchanged multiple text messages about where else he could wear that hat.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good look.
Yeah. Well, now he's a horse guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He might be at San Antonio.
The first person I trust is the person that gives me some first-hand interviews with the horses themselves. And then that's whenever I'm going to be like, I want to hear it from the guy, the participant, right? Like, I don't want to hear all this. He looked great today. No. I wanted to hear, this is the best I've ever felt. You know, like the guys in training camp.
Yeah.
This is the best I've ever felt. I've never trained harder
You're a confident horse, aren't you?
Yeah. That's right.
He's like, oh, this is the hardest I've ever trained. I'm ready to go.
I hear
best
you love the mud. Is that true? By the way, Ron Flatter has me on one of his podcasts, his horse racing podcast. Oof. Coming up, where I play the role of sports, but not even playing the role, because I am the sports bettor who doesn't understand certain things about horse racing.
I like it.
Yeah. But
would be me just playing myself.
Yeah, that was me playing myself. Yeah.
The most impressive thing about in the show so far was you in the first segment just doing 97 seconds on the Breeders' Cup. I was blown away, impressed.
Thank you very much. And you said Felica produced it. You didn't even give me credit for it.
Yeah, I'm going to stand by that.
That's not true. I haven't even spoken to him about it. Jeez. Last thing about the Chiefs and the Dolphins, because Kelly brought this up and it's correct off air. The travel, right? Now, maybe this has just been a small sample size thing this year. But the Dolphins got there early, right? The Chiefs took a flight last night. The Chiefs just arrived or are arriving now. This has not worked out for the late arriving team. Was that part of your thinking as well? Or did that not even enter?
A little bit, for sure. I mean, I kind of heard the report, Kelly, you were saying that they were going to leave. Whatever. But then I also heard another one say that they've been planning this for a year, you know, I mean, like, whatever. Yeah. And so it's just like, I don't know. I've never done it, so I don't know what works and what doesn't.
It's definitely something that's been in my mind through this year when we've looked at these games, because, yeah, it's small sample size, but every ex-player we talk to or hear talk about it, they all say the same thing. I'd much rather be over there earlier, get acclimated to it. Obviously, the counter is you get to use your own facilities for a few more days, but I'm still yet to hear someone be like, I'd rather do that and fly.
Remember,
late.
It stuck in John Harbaugh's craw for years, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, we are, and over the summer, he's like, we're getting this travel thing right, and it worked out for them in the end.
Yeah, I'll admit, I didn't like play a ton into that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you have the alt spread on the Dolphins as favorites, -2.5 at +133. More conventional sides that you have this week.
Yeah, so it's not there anymore, which is why I didn't talk about this yesterday on your pod, but I took the 4 in a hook with the Vikings on the Falcons, and this is... I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe here with that Heineke's going to come in and make this offense look just exponentially better. It's been atrocious, right? It's been inefficient all over the place. They don't know whether they want to run it, whether they want to pass it. They don't exactly know how to pass it when they decide that they want to pass it. Do they use Bijan out of the backfield? Do they use him in the slot? Do they how often they use Algier? It's just all over the place. It's literally, you go back through and you start to look at these the personnel that they've used game by game and all the different play calling. You're going, they have no idea what they want to do with this team. And then I think that just carries over into this game. Do I think they win it? Sure. Does it feel like very much like a field goal game? This, by the way, this Minnesota defense, if you looked over the last 4 weeks, they've been a top 8 defense in the NFL. Like, they've actually played really, really good. They figured some stuff out and they've been much better.
Still blitzing like crazy.
Less.
Yeah, so that rate's coming down. Makes it even more impressive to me, at least. Yeah.
Yes, less so. They are still obviously the number one blitz rate team in the NFL, but it has come down significantly. And actually, they're disguising it. One of the cool things that one of the guys broke it down that I saw online, they're disguising them a whole lot better now, too. So it's almost as if they were setting it up early in the season and they were giving these teams looks. And then they were coming up in what looked like something that they had blitzed from earlier in the season. And then they were dropping these guys back and doing all these cool things and kind of confusing the quarterback. So, listen, I you know Heineke as well as anyone. I think he is a below average to bottom tier quarterback. There's a reason he's not a starter anywhere. There was a bunch of quarterback needy teams, and there's a reason he wasn't a starter anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the other side of four,
he has no arm strength.
Yeah.
So what you get is this gamer guy who's like, oh, he's super feisty, runs, and that lasts about 2 games.
Yeah. It was either yesterday or the day before. I thought you put it perfectly.
Yeah.
Where you're going to get excited by him for 1 or 2 games, and then you're going to see the same old bad Heineke that you see.
And the 4.5, the thing is just, it's just too much. I don't see a Falcons team winning at margin is just not really in the equation very often with this team, the way that they play.
The other one that is not available anymore, but I made the case for this and bet it as well, is Washington +3 in the hook after Montez Sweat and Chase Young were traded away. It's 3 now.
Yeah.
Would you still play it at 3? Because you have Washington +3.5 in your account.
3 is fine. Obviously, we know the huge increase in push equity when it comes to the 3. But so I think the handicap on this one is at least a little skewed because everyone's going, well, those 2 guys are gone. And so it was like the defense actually wasn't playing all that well anyway. No, right.
Stunk.
So you are betting on Washington outscoring the Patriots in this game as it is. And if you look at Washington, Sam Howell, if you, and I know this is something that you've looked at as well, like if you actually factor out the noise and factor out the garbage time stuff and all that, like he's been pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's been pretty good. And then if you look the last 2 weeks, what they've started to do, he's taken a lot fewer sacks than he was taking earlier on the season. They're getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. They're basically forcing him to not take these sacks. Like the play calling has changed to where he doesn't have the option really to sit back there and hold the ball for too long. And he was the definition of the sacks are not always an offensive line statistic. Like you could look and he was holding the ball like longer than any quarterback in the NFL by margin. Right. And so they're going, okay, well, if we can't break you of that habit right now, then let's just call plays that get you away from that. And so that's what they started to do. And this offense has looked pretty good. And the Patriots have not looked good at anything. They don't do anything well. And so if you look, even some of their defensive statistics are a little bit skewed from earlier in the season when they had a whole bunch more healthier players out there. And they've lost some very key players at all 3 levels along with them as well. So, I mean, look, so you're telling me, well, they're going to be able to move the ball in Washington. I mean, I guess maybe they hadn't really moved the ball on anybody all year long, right? And so I don't really care that Washington's defense hasn't been that great. I think Washington can outscore them here.
Sam Howell, 270 yards, passing yards, behind Tua Tagovailoa. By the way, he still has Mahomes, Goff, and Allen in between him and Tua. Kirk Cousins, now out for the year, was also in between. 25-1 to finish with the most passing yards. Do you want to take a flyer on that or no?
I mean, do you... We probably expect them to be trailing in a whole bunch of games this year.
For sure. Like,
and there's no reason for them. They're not going to bench him. There's no reason to bench him.
I don't think he gets there, quite frankly. But it's a heck of a number.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. All right. Three more plays from Matt Brown on the other side. By the way, you can follow Matt at Matt Brown M2 because all the other Matt Browns were taken.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Matt Brown M2
name.
On the Twitter machine. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll do all that. NFL football week number 9 on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Or number 2, there we go, of A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D. I don't know if they bring it to us, but we're certainly here. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We did have Jason coming on the show today.
Yeah, we got excited. A bit at the end, yeah.
Eddie Olchick from NBC Sports talk Breeders' Cup with us. Can't wait for that as well. Looking forward to that. I learned over the break that Kelly has no confidence in me whatsoever. It's just sinking in that it's a little disappointing. You're so amazed.
In your horse racing preparation, yes, I don't have much confidence in. No.
Yeah, but you thought Felica fed me the thing, and then you say, are you going? I'm like, no.
Well,
I'm
that
not
would
going.
Make more sense. You know, like if I came in here one day spitting out all these hockey stats, and you were like, are you going to a Golden Knights game tonight? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
The answer would be yes.
Yeah, but it's called, and I'm gonna word this carefully. Doing your job.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. No, and by the way, I do want to make some irresponsible bets. That is definitely the motivation. If I wasn't betting, you're 100% right with that. As a matter of fact, if only we had an expert on such subjects to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He's at Fox Sports. You may know him from the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football versions. We'll get some college football plays from him, but let's talk some Breeders' Cup with him as well. It's Chris Velika, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm super impressed with this conversation. I think the next step, at least for Drew, we're going to need to get him in the slash hat over to Royal Ascot next year for where they wear all the top hats and stuff. We'll see how the slash hat fits in over in the UK for the big Royal Ascot. I think we need to do that. But you must have absorbed a lot of information from Ron Flatter to turn it around.
And, no.
And talk
Ron Flatter. No? Ron Flatter and I have not had a Breeders' Cup conversation. No. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a little thing called the information superhighway, the World Wide Web. Are you guys familiar with this?
You're getting no credit.
No credit. None whatsoever.
Well, if you're familiar with it and you've truly done your homework on the Breeders' Cup,
oh boy,
are aware that tomorrow in the Turf Sprint, which is race 10, horse number 9, the horse's name is Roses for Deborah. So I think that's a good inspiration for you.
Look at that.
Turn around and do something nice.
See what he just did?
Stylist Deborah Song. Turn around and do something nice for her.
Roses right? for Deborah.
There you go.
There you go.
Chris, he just
whole
got.
Bankroll.
You have no idea how many points he just got from her. Just a lifetime worth of points. So let's start with today because we want to get to the bigger races tomorrow. But anything today that you love?
Yeah, in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, I like the number 7 horse Shards, who's 15-1 on the morning line. This feels like a wide open race where you're going to get a price. And I'm looking down just at my notes here to make sure I get the names of the races right and the program numbers right. The Juvenile Filly race is a tough race to bet because the morning line favorite Tamara really didn't work out well in her last work. There are rumors about her potentially scratching. So follow that. It's definitely a race where if she does run, you probably want to take a chance and try and beat her. I think if you look at the Juvenile Filly Turf, the number 6 horse, Porta Fortuna, looks really good. Maybe an exacta box with the 14, Le Pavot, might be in play. I have boots on the ground in Southern California, and I'm told in the Juvenile, the number 4 horse, Timberlake, looks like a picture of health. and looks fantastic. So you might want to take a look at number four horse, Timberlake, Brad Cox's horse. I believe he's 4-1 on the morning line. And then the juvenile turf, the number nine horse, Endlessly for Mike McCarthy, I believe is unbeaten so far. And I think he had at a good price, he's got a chance to continue. Wow. That unbeaten back to his career.
Wow. I ask a question. Do you have any horses today? And I get a dissertation on them. Yes, absolutely. You do.
You wanted picks and me. Yeah. And so we're going to give you picks.
Yeah. Do you do a pick five tomorrow? Do you even delve into that?
Tomorrow. Today.
Today as well. Okay.
Today and tomorrow. Absolutely.
What about tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to go down. If you're a better, you're looking to get, you don't care about 5, 6, 7, 8-1 double digits long shot. If you're looking just to make one bet and you turn around, you're happy getting 2-1 or 5-2 on your money. In the Philly AmeriTurf, the number six horse in Spiral, that horse, she looks like she has to fall down to lose. In Italian, Chad Brown's horse will be on the lead, but I'm not sure she gets 1.25 miles. So I think the number six horse in Spiral is someone who, if you're looking just to make one bet and you don't care about how much you're making, 2-1, 5-2 on your money is good. That's the horse for you to play.
Top hope for the Europeans, Kelly. Top hope for the Europeans in that race.
Wow, look at you. and the horse that would have been the top hope for the Europeans, I think, in the next race, the Mile, favorite Master of Seas, drew out in the parking lot. So the horse is going to have to overcome a lot. So I'm not getting involved there. I think in the turf, maybe is a chance to price horse with the number two horse, Ernesto, is someone to take a look at. The classic, I do like Guardabario, who may be the favorite in this race now that the Belmont winner, Arcangelo, has scratched, unfortunately. So take a look at the board. Maybe if Guardabario is too short, I'll look for a price there. The Turf Sprint is a horse. It is a horse that I think is going to draw in because of a couple of scratches. The number 13 horse, One Timer. We'll see if Edzo, kind of a hunch play maybe for him as well. That horse may draw in for Larry Rivella. If so, I think that horse has a good chance. And then I'm hearing from more than one person that the number two horse, Dr. Shivel, in the sprint is a good thing. And I know he was at 5-1 on the morning line. Probably won't get that on him. But we have 4-1 or so on Dr. Shivel. I'll be happy to take that.
You putting all these in the newsletter, Kelly? All of them. Kelly's like, oh no, why did you mention that out loud?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I saw him writing names down there before. He was being a good producer and doing his homework.
All of those in chronological order, by the way, from Chris, in terms of the docket tomorrow, race by race at the Breeders' Cup. We'll talk to Eddie Olczyk even more in depth about the Breeders' Cup coming up. But since we have you, college football, good college football weekend, let me just throw one out to you and then you can give us our best bets. LSU and Alabama, what do you have here?
I like LSU here. This line is only 3, and normally it seems like the odds makers out there would kind of err on the side of posting a higher Alabama number, kind of knowing that people are going to bet on Alabama regardless, and maybe they want some money on the underdog. But the fact that this number is so low, it tells me they're hunting for Alabama money, and they kind of feel that LSU is the right side. We saw Jaden Daniels have a great game last year against the Tide, especially with his feet. I think that could be a problem again. And they got, obviously, Daniels, a quarterback. Malik Nabers, a great wide receiver. We saw what Texas did at Bryant Denny earlier this year with Ewers and the wide receivers that they have. LSU's quarterback wide receiver play is better than what Texas has. And I think Alabama has struggled at times to get after the passer. I maybe I'm going to step into a trap here and hate myself for doing it, betting against Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. But I think there's a really good chance that LSU goes in there and wins. And maybe I'm a little jaded, just like you and your love for Puka Nacua. I have a nice Heisman bet on Jaden Daniels. So I was trying to parlay Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman with LSU moneyline this week. But unfortunately, a little decorrelated. So I'm unable to do that. But I do think that LSU has a really good chance to go in there and win.
Let me get this straight. Did you just suggest that I was talking through my bet when I talk about Puka Nacua? Was that the suggestion?
Potentially.
Slightly. Okay. Just curious.
I mean, not like we have a track record of Juan Soto, Spencer Strider. Yeah. We've been down this road before.
Yes, we have. All right. The floor is yours. What do you like best this college football Saturday?
I like Utah. And I know with a bad offense, you really don't want to lay double digits. But I did lay 11 with the Utes against Arizona State. I think the situation with Utah getting absolutely pummeled last week at home by Oregon, I would expect Kyle Whittingham and Morgan Scalley to kind of get their defense back on track this week against an Arizona State team, which finally broke through last week against Wazoo, pulled that upset. But prior to that, their offense really had not been putting up a bunch of points. I would be surprised if Utah laid an egg at home in consecutive weeks. So I did lay 11 with Arizona State, and I took 9.5 with Virginia Tech. And I think as some of your tennis plays go, Gil, you can get a better number now, I think, with the Hokies. Mm-hmm. I think there's some tennis out there. So I took the Hokies plus 9.5. But Virginia Tech's kind of figured some things out. 1-3 of 4, the one game they lost to Florida State, they tied that game in the third quarter, I believe, or either tied or made 21-17, but they got back in the game. You look at Louisville, they played down to the level of their competition a lot this year. You beat Georgia Tech by 5 and struggle. Indiana's the worst team in the Big Ten. You beat them by 7. NC State, you hang on and win by 3. Jack Plummer hasn't been great since that Notre Dame game. So I took the Hokies in the points here, and we'll see what happens with that. And I might hate myself for doing this, but I did take USC in the 3 against Washington.
Ooh, wow.
The Huskies have been begging to get beat the last couple of weeks. We know that USC's defense has had problems, but Washington does not get after the passer at all. Is Michael Penix healthy? His play has certainly kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks. He's had injury problems in the past. So I know SC does not have a very good history of pulling upsets lately. I believe it's the last 26 games that they've been an underdog. Only 3 times they've actually won outright. So that's concerning to me. But at the same time, new administration in town. And by the way, SC still has a whole lot of life. They control their destiny to get the back four championship. So I took SC, and then I'm on the fence with a couple more. Do I really want to hate myself so much and get involved with Michigan State and Nebraska? But I can't imagine laying points with Nebraska on the road. And Auburn laying close to 13, I think, now against Vanderbilt. I know they beat Miss State last week, but they scored like a year's worth of points in that game. So really want to lay that many points with Auburn on the road against Vandy? I don't know.
Okay, I need a 20-second or less answer to this. Someone wants to bet the Heisman Trophy market right now. Who should they bet?
Bo Nix. That would be the bet that I would make. I think Jaden Daniels, it's contingent on them winning in Tuscaloosa. But I think Bo Nix, I think Oregon wins out. Absolutely live.
Bo Nix at 5-1 currently at DraftKings. Chris, good luck with all your bets, college football and the Breeders' Cup, sir. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys.
At Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on Twitter. Bear Bets Pod, college football version on Thursday, pro football version on Friday. I am. Bam. Eddie Olczyk joins us to talk Breeders' Cup on the other side. Can't wait for this. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Special Numbers Game investigation reveals that college basketball tips off on Monday. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 25 rankings, who could be this season's Florida Atlantic, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide, though, is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $120. That's United States dollars. You get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season long, March Madness and beyond, for only $120. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. By the way, Kelly, Al Bernstein hits me up on Twitter yesterday, the day before. He's a legendary boxing announcer, the sweetest guy in the world. He's an early VSiN guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know each other.
VSiN OG, yeah.
And we have each other's numbers. I don't know. He forgot that and he went to Twitter. And I didn't know why he wanted to talk to me. And the whole time I'm thinking, I go, is he going to give me his lounge act? Like, is he going to bequeath his Vegas lounge act to me? Because, he sings around town. I was so excited. I was like, can you imagine? Now Juvenile, back that took us up. A little something different. It was not that. But he's the sweetest guy in the world, and we're going to have him on to talk boxing here in the next couple weeks.
Awesome. That was great.
Looking forward to that. Right. Yeah. We're equally excited to have this gentleman on the show right now. He's NBC Sports horse racing handicapper and analyst, obviously a former NHL player as well. It's the great Eddie Olczyk. How you doing, Eddie? Nice to meet you.
Gil, Kelly, nice to talk to you guys. How are you?
Doing very well. This is quite the weekend for horse racing fans. We just had Chris Velika on last segment. We did it chronologically. I want to start with the big races with you first so we get those in. And let's start with the Breeders' Cup Distaff tomorrow, which is 5:10 p.m. Eastern post time. And I just want to sort of give you what I have anecdotally sucked in from this, which is I go from capper to capper, analyst to analyst on this, and they're like, oh, this race to me, I can't believe no one sees that, you know, horse X is absolutely the horse to bet. And I've gotten Clarier on that. The other one that comes up on this a lot in this particular race is... Mischievous? Is it, what's the one with the mischievous on there?
Pretty mischievous.
Well, how about you? How do you feel about this race? Is it as clear cut to you as it is to others?
I think the most clear cut, Gil, for me, is that they're on paper, and sometimes on paper, and when humans get on the back of horses that have their own minds, they decide to do their own things, and it doesn't play out the way that you think, these equine athletes. But there is a lot of speed in this race. So to me, the faster they go, the better it is for a horse, like you said, Clarier, who threw in a really, there's no other way to say it, just a brutal race at Saratoga. Now, the race was in an off track, so I think that played into it for sure back in August. But, she's a mare that comes right flying more times than not. And the faster they go, the better it would be, trained by Steve Asmussen and, of course, ridden by Joel Rosario. To me, the key to the race, Gil, and we're going to talk about this on our NBC and USA Network broadcast all weekend, is to me the key to the race is who's your filly on the rail with Luis Saez and Tom Amos. She's putting blinkers on. Back in her earlier days, she was a, earlier days as a two-year-old and an early three-year-old, I should say. She was very, very quick. And it looks like to me the only way that she can win and be a part of this thing is that if she gets aggressive. So how is that going to play into Idiomatic and Adair Manor and randomized and search results? I mean, so, what horses can be tactical? What horses can be adaptable when all of a sudden they're going eye to eye for a half a mile or 5/8 of a mile and then, does the speed come back? So look at, I would agree with everybody that you've talked to, and kind of the sense is that you probably could go four or five different ways. But for me, I look at Clarier to, I don't want to say sit the trip, but be the horse that if I believe, and I do, is that this race is going to collapse where the speed doesn't go wire to wire. Somebody from just off or way out of it comes up and picks up the pieces. So race 7 tomorrow. And I will say this, the fine folks at First Bet and Express Bet, which I'm not sure if you can wear out an app on your phone, but I have a pretty good chance of wearing out my app on my phone this weekend. This race is going to get a lot of attention and a lot of cash thrown its way, because I think you're going to have a lot of opinions in this race. I mean, I think the favorite will end up being Idiomatic, the four horse, but long-winded, I would say, is that I see a lot of speed in this race and the key to the race. If the one isn't on the lead, then I really won't have any idea what the hell happened. So I'm banking on the one at 20-1 with Luis Saez going to trying to get to the lead, and then somebody coming picking up the pieces late.
Speaking of attention, the Breeders' Cup Turf, which follows that, maybe the most attention of any race, if you can say that about a non-Breeders' Cup Classic race, Breeders' Cup weekend. The Breeders' Cup Turf is, I said it earlier, 5 of the top 20 horses by rankings anywhere on the planet are in this, regardless of service. Yeah. If you're going to win a pick 5 tomorrow, maybe this is the one you really got to get. What do you think about the Turf tomorrow?
To me, it's a capital A, capital L, capital R race if you're playing. I really look at it, and I'm not embarrassed to say this. Like the one thing that I don't have a lot of confidence in is the Euros, the European horses, the Japanese horses that come in and don't have a great feel for style and class that they're running against over there. I mean, the American horses, I mean, that's easy because I live that every day. But, I mean, this is a – I think you're right. This is a absolute wide-open race. I mean, I think the best North American entrant that we have is the 8-horse Up to the Mark for Todd Pletcher and Irad Ortiz. Be interesting to see how this race ends up getting running. A lot of people think that there are a Euro or two that have a incredible shot, but, you know, say, maybe just the inconsistencies is the biggest question mark. I don't think there's that dominant Euro that we've seen come over in the Breeders' Cup turf before. And again, look at, they're running for four schmil. I mean, $4 million on the line. So they're not just coming for a little holiday in Southern California. So honestly, to me, I want to for sure. I mean, I'll probably tread very lightly when it comes to getting my feet wet on that race, but it's an absolute wide open race. I could not talk anybody off a horse in there because I don't have a real strong opinion in that race. But I agree with you. It is absolutely as good as it gets and as wide open as it is, because you could ask 10 people and you might get eight different horses out of the 10 people.
All right. And then what about the classic, which obviously famously Tuesday scratch of Arcangelo. So we have a new favorite here in Arabian Night, but we have other horses, a couple others that are right there. Oshba Tesoro, White Averlo. What do you like here?
Yeah, well, I see, like, I guess the biggest question is, Gil, is that the biggest question is who is going to put the pressure on the 12-horse Arabian Night for Bob Baffert and Flavian Pratt? My gut feeling is that I don't know if there's anybody as quick as this horse. Now, if he gets looked in the eye, will he just back up and then all of a sudden, the late horses start, that come from behind us end up, going. There is a lot of movement on a Japanese horse, the 8-horse Ushba Tesoro. A lot of people like Saudi Crown, who won the Pennsylvania Derby in the slop. I mean, it was an awful track, but went wire to wire. A lot of people feel that the 6 Saudi Crown is going to put pressure on Arabian Night. And I would just tell people, your viewers and listeners out there, Gil, is that, like, to me, the number I want people to hear when you're hearing Larry Colmus, who is the voice of the Breeders' Cup for NBC, when you hear him give, he'll give a half a mile, how fast they're going in a half a mile, and then he'll give a 3/4 mile note. He'll give the time. When they get, he says 3/4 mile in, I believe is that they have a chance to go in 110 and change. If they go faster than 110, if they're in the 109, or if they're 110 flat, to me, that's a good sign for horses that will come from off the pace. So for me, full disclosure, I've been on the Arabian Night bandwagon from day one. And the other horse that I've been on all summer and said to myself that he's going to be my Breeders' Cup Classic horse, regardless, is going to be the 13 Proxy with Joel Rosario. He's proven at Santa Anita. I think he's going to sit a really good trip. So the faster they go, the better it would be for Proxy. And, the other hot horse here is White Abario, the 3-horse for Dick Dutrow, who just destroyed the field at the Whitney at Saratoga back in August. So I think early you're going to see Arabian Night. I think you're going to see Saudi Crown. It's going to be interesting what Bright Future does with Johnny Velasquez for Todd Pletcher. So I think the faster they go, the better. And then I mentioned the Japanese horse who really quick was running on turf pretty much his whole life and, was running okay, not great, but all of a sudden decided, let's put him on dirt. And all of a sudden the last 7 races is win, 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 win. And this horse won the Dubai World Cup for $12 million in Maidan back in March. So I think he's going to be one of the favorites, the 8-horse Ushba Tesoro. But I see this race going quick, and the quicker they go, the better it will be for Proxy. So Proxy will be getting the majority of my attention tomorrow on my Express Bet account on my first bet count.
All right, Proxy from Eddie Olczyk. Eddie's going to have a suggested $25 wager ready, offering a free $25 bet for person signing up at first.com/bet using the promo code EDZO25. Eddie, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
You too. Eddie Olczyk on both USA's coverage today and then USA and NBC tomorrow on the Breeders' Cup. Dr. Bob in store. Analytics, college football next.